Chapter 12. Into the Shadows. So that's the last place that we know he was seen alive,
Crane said, jabbing his large finger at the map displayed on the data slate that Deschelles was holding.
Wexler's Antiquities Emporium.
He ran his tongue over his teeth and grunted irritably.
And then he disappears, with not a soul able to tell us how or why. A navigator of Brabantis is simply, what, swallowed by the shadows? It's not like he isn't conspicuous.
Indeed, he was, Deschelles reflected. Avamar Duchoy Brabantis displayed little outward sign of his genetic heritage. He had no obvious mutations or deformities, save for his warp eye, which he kept covered. His build, although tall and spare, was certainly not outside the realms of regular humankind. However, he made up for that with his dress sense, which the word flamboyant barely began to do justice to. The images she'd seen of him, and which they'd shown to various merchants, shopkeepers, and bartenders, depicted a sombre, ruddy-skinned face in the heart of a riot of colours, feathers, jewels, scales, and ribbons. Avamar had worn them all, often at the same time. And yet, they couldn't find him. The vox had come from Lady Chetamande herself a few hours before, when she'd managed to get a private moment during the dinner House Brabantis were throwing to celebrate the ongoing forging of their new alliance with House Zudine. She directed Luke and Deschelles to change their focus and ignore, for now, the two navigators whom were known to have died. Instead, she wanted them to concentrate on this one newly believed to have gone missing.
Well, something must have happened to him, Deschelles offered. He's well known around here, and his usual haunts remember seeing him up until roughly a week ago. He hasn't been back to the palace since. Someone's either got to him, or he's drastically changed his habits all of a sudden, and people don't do that without a reason.
He's a navigator, though, Luke muttered. Never try to apply normal human logic to navigators, Deschelles. They think all twisty. It's just how they're made.
Deschelles suppressed a sigh. Ever since she'd left the Skolam, her life seemed to have consisted of being condescended to by large men with guns. She wasn't entirely certain that was ever going to change, no matter how high she might rise.
So let's not try to think like navigators, she said. We work on the basis that someone attacked them. If we assume that whoever did that wasn't a navigator, it means they were probably human.
She looked up at Luke.
If you're a human who wants to attack someone very conspicuous, moving around on foot, how would you do it?
It depends on my motivations, Luke replied immediately. If my intention is to kidnap, I balance ease of access to the victim with the possibility of being seen, and my ability to get to them either to where I intend to hold them or a vehicle with which I can transport them to where I intend to hold them. If I'm killing to send a message about my own impunity, or I intend it to be a warning to others, then I do it openly, in front of witnesses. If my intention is to kill and avoid notice, then my primary concern is for the victim to be isolated when I attack. If my intention is to kill and to avoid the body being found, then the victim needs to be alone when I attack. And I need easy access to a method of disposing of the body.
Deschelles looked at him for a moment.
And of course, the level of thought that you've given this has been solely to protect House Brabantis from the attentions of others?
Luke just snorted.
Well, he hasn't been attacked openly. We can say that with reasonable certainty,
Deschelles mused, studying the map.
We think he was last seen here, here, and here.
She drew her finger across it.
And although we can't be sure of the times of each sighting, it seems reasonable that he was moving in this direction.
A bar where the patrons knew him and didn't care he was a navigator? A massage parlour with optional extras available for purchase? Or Deschelles was a High Lord of Terror, and an emporium where Avamar apparently liked to shop for antiques and curios? The stranger, the better. There had been at least two objects on sale that Deschelles had been reasonably certain were Xenos in origin, although the proprietor hadn't advertised them as such, and may well not have been aware of their true nature. Not that that would do him any good, should someone with proper knowledge come calling.
We know he also frequented here, she said,
pointing to another location on the map, a little to the east of their current position, and in the same general direction as Avamar's suspected route.
But he never got there.
It was the Desert Rose, an eatery that claimed to specialise in Talarn cuisine, although Deschelles hadn't detected a single authentic spice in the aroma that filled it. It had smelled tasty enough, though, and her mouth watered slightly at the memory. The owner had recognised Avamar immediately, but claimed not to have seen him for a month.
So either they're lying, Luke agreed, or whatever happened to him happened between Wexler's and the Desert Rose. Or he changed his usual route for some reason we can't guess at, he added.
Well, since we can't guess at it, let's investigate what we can guess at, Dashiell said.
She absent-mindedly rubbed her neck, where her ebonwood collar usually sat.
Come on, we'll start at the Desert Rose and work back westwards. I could do with a meal anyway.
I'm impressed, Luke admitted, shining his luminator at the wall. How did you spot this?
They were in a service alley that ran between two retail units on St. Catherine's processional. It was dark, thanks to the lumens in the ceiling having failed, and it reeked of the rubbish dumped into it from either side. Luke played his light over a spatter of dark drops strung across the rough, rock-creaked wall, and at the far end of the alley, a trio of oversized rats hissed and spat at the intruding photons.
My observational skills were one of the reasons Lady Chattermande hired me in the first place,
Dashiell replied. She swallowed and grimaced as her stomach threatened to reintroduce her to the Desert Rose's evening special. Luke looked over at her, frowned, looked at the wall again, then back at her with a disbelieving expression on his face.
You're not bothered by this, are you?
No, Dashiell told him, but I'm not sure that my meal agreed with me.
That was a lie, but Luke seemed to buy it, or at least was going to pretend that he did.
We're in the right place,
he said, inspecting the wall again and looking up and down the alley.
If Avamar was going from Wexler's to the Desert Rose, then he'd have probably walked right past the entrance to this.
A good place to snatch him, Dashiell agreed.
Her nausea was subsiding now.
It's a quieter street. The lighting out there isn't too good either.
She took a deep breath, ignoring the smell of putrid garbage.
We'll have to get a gene hound down here, see if this matches his,
Luke said, jerking his thumb at the wall. It wouldn't be hard to do, Dashiell knew. Every navigator house had the gene sequences of all their members thoroughly mapped out to best identify the most beneficial reproductive pairings.
But if it's his, then he was killed here. So what happened to the body?
Dragged or carried back up the alley, then loaded into a transport? Dashiell suggested.
But Luke shook his head and tracked his luminator back the way they'd come.
The ground's clear, no trail of blood.
He looked at the piles of refuse that took up the dead end of the alley, and his lip curled in distaste.
You don't think...
Dashiell sighed and rolled up her sleeves.
Only one way to find out.
You're not serious,
Luke said in dismay. He clearly felt that the position of head of security did not warrant getting his hands dirty in rubbish.
Trust me, Dashiell said fervently. I've been in worse. I spent a few hours in a sewer system once.
She plunged her hands into a pile of mouldering vegetable peels and other, more decayed and less identifiable debris.
You continue to surprise me,
Luke muttered. He hesitated for a moment, then shook his head in resignation.
I can't believe I'm doing this.
The shell's questing hands found innumerable putrid objects, but none of them were the flesh of Avamar de Choi Brabantis. Her fingers did once close on a hard, slick object she recognised as bone, but when she pulled it out, it clearly wasn't human, the femur of some animal killed for meat, presumably.
Anything?
She asked Luke, who glowered at her. If I'd found anything, I'd have told you.
He pulled a refuse sack aside, and something leapt at his face as it was caught in the beam of his luminator.
A rat, 3 feet long, including its tail, with incisors the length of Dashiell's little finger, and its dark fur sleek and wet with rancid fluids. Luke snatched it out of the air with his free hand and hurled it at the wall with a yell of disgust. It hit with a gruesome cracking noise and dropped unmoving into a heap of old gut-rot bottles.
Emperor damn vermin, Luke muttered.
His nostrils flared as he exhaled deliberately and slowly. Dashiell was astonished at the speed of his reactions and the precision of his hand-eye coordination. She wondered what cocktail of drugs was mingled with his blood to have enhanced his reflexes like that. Was it always there, or was it released in response to external stimuli? If the latter, the dispenser, whatever it was, must have an unbelievable trigger rate, since an unenhanced human body could have barely begun its physiological response by the time the rat was already in the air. She realised she was staring and dragged her attention back to the refuse pile. They'd gone through, inch by stinking inch of it, and were almost at the back wall. But there was still no sign of the missing navigator. She didn't like to think what Luke would say if this turned out to be for nothing. She frowned. What's that?
Something else that stinks worse than Grok's dung, Luke grunted, not looking up.
No, Dachelle insisted. She took two unsteady steps forward, her boots sinking into the unstable mess. The rat's leap had caused another sack to fall sideways, spilling its rotten guts. But it had revealed a section of the alley's back wall that was stained a darker colour.
Look here! Is this blood?
Luke turned his luminator on it and joined her, squinting sceptically down at it.
Could be,
he admitted somewhat grudgingly. He leaned out and took a closer look.
I mean, blood's blood. Two of those rats could have killed a third.
There's a puddle, Dachelle said, poking with her boot at the alley's surface. Dried up, but it's there. A bleeding body rested here for a short time.
Or was left here,
Luke muttered.
They wouldn't have got far on their own bleeding like that if they were human.
Or a navigator,
Dachelle added quietly. She looked back up the alley.
Why drag someone off the street, knife them halfway down an alley, then drag them to the other end of it and leave them here for a short time before moving them again? And where to?
Luke grunted and shone his luminator's beam on the service doors that flanked them, one in the wall of each building.
I think perhaps we need to have conversations with the owners of these establishments.
Dachelle shook her head.
No, it doesn't feel right.
Luke's face screwed up perplexedly.
It doesn't feel right? We think a Brabantis navigator might have been murdered in this alley, and you're telling me that investigating the two most likely places the body got dumped doesn't feel right?
The nausea was back. Dachelle dug out her data slate and activated it again, bringing up the map.
What are you doing now?
I'm checking what's on the other side of this wall,
she told him, expanding the readout with a swipe of her grimy fingers.
What? It's a wall! There's no door! What the warp does it matter what's on the other side of it?
Dachelle ignored him, while she double-checked their location, then held it up for him to see.
Look, we're right near the edge of the block. On the other side of this wall is a hab zone that's been abandoned since the Red Scale outbreak last year.
Fine, Luke said. So what?
So trust me,
Dachelle told him, turning around and heading for the relative light of St. Catherine's processional.
We can always come back. But for now, just trust me.
It took them three blocks to find a cut-through to the hab area, and only a handful of ducats to bribe the bored watchman, who'd been set to ensure that no one got in or out. There was no current risk of infection. The administratum simply didn't want anyone unauthorised to get in and set up home without permission, in what would be desirable residences, once the correct post-infection protocols had finally been run. Had the Red Scale still been active, then they'd have encountered proctors, who would have likely responded to attempted bribery with the business end of a riot gun.
The alley ends behind that wall,
Dachelle told Luke, directing her luminator across an open space of real grass, still watered by hydration systems, but now growing long and unchecked. She turned around to look at the source of the wind that was buffeting them, and through which could be seen the blaze of lights that constituted Ascension City at night.
And here
is an external standard thickness reinforced kris glass window that's been cut open with an emperor damned power tool or blade by the looks of it,
Luke said slowly.
What in the name of holy terror is going on here?
There's blood on the lower half of the cut,
Dachelle said, directing her luminator at the dirty rivulets that stained the underside of the large oval, which had been hacked right through the window.
And on the other side of it, a 1,500-foot drop directly into Ascension River, which is exactly where I'd dump a body if I could get to it. We'll need to check this blood matches Avamar's, of course, and the blood in the alley.
Luke shook his head in disbelief.
You'd make a damned fine inquisitor, Duvois.
Don't say that too loudly around her ladyship,
Dachelle said with a snort.